the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?
Welcome to Pass the Damn Ball podcast. It has been a while since we've done an episode. Life has just been hectic, chaotic. I hope everybody out there is having a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to everybody. Don't forget Christmas shopping as it is only days away. Do not procrastinate. If you do, good luck. We got a lot of football coming up with the holiday season. Not just NFL, but college football. The college football playoff gets underway this weekend. A lot of fun, great games. Should be entertaining stuff. To my right here, I have a guest on the episode, a special guest, as always, my dad. Welcome back to Pass the Damn Ball.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Doing excellent. Happy holiday to everybody. Ready to rock and roll. Excited about the upcoming season. Football, what we have left of it, as well as holiday and, of course, 2025.
It's 2025 almost?
It's coming.
I still haven't processed 2020. Speaking of the number five, we just had week 15.
Week 15.
Of the NFL. Very, very much a wonky week, I would say. We saw Buffalo put up another 40-plus performance, this time in a winning fashion against the Detroit Lions. Lions are getting banged up. But one of the games, one of the best games, and of course this is totally biased, that we got to firsthand witness was the Green Bay Packers at the Seattle Seahawks at Lumen Field. Lumen Field.
Yep, in Seattle.
Still don't know what a lumen is. But yeah, and it was a tremendous experience. The night before, me and Dad had the opportunity of going to a Packers pep rally, sponsored by Packers Everywhere. And I got to wear my Cheesehead TV beanie as a representative recap writer for Cheesehead TV. And we got to experience a lot of fun Packer fans. And Dad, one thing that stood out, which I know you will appreciate this moment, was being able to listen to Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy.
Yes.
And from hearing his words and getting to shake his hand and have a picture with him, what did you take away from that experience as a lifelong Packer fan?
Yeah, well, first of all, the experience overall was just amazing. You know, anytime you have an opportunity to get out and go and see the team that you've rooted for all of your life in an area that you know, that's new to you. We had not seen Seattle in Seattle. We saw Seattle in Green Bay once, but not in Seattle. So visit a new field, get a new vibe from the fans that exist there, the 12th man, kind of all of that. And then throw on top of it, you know, a Packer get together where, you know, the president and CEO, Mark Murphy, who has been in position for many, many, many years. And this happens to be his final year. He's retiring, and he's retiring July of 2025 officially. And so really this is his last outing. The Packers through the 70s, through the 80s really struggled. And any fan who has been there, whether you're a fan now with a team that's struggling, you can relate. The years when you're down are very, very challenging. They're very difficult. Every beginning of the year, you have hope. And then about game three, your hope dissolves and you have no hope. And it's extremely gut-wrenching. And so to suffer through that for nearly 20 years and then have Mark Murphy come in and, you know, bring in the likes of like Ron Wolf, and who brought in like Mike Holmgren, who traded for Brett Favre, and it all started right there. And, you know, to hear him talk about and reflect on his time in Green Bay as president and CEO and what he has accomplished, he has been, he'll get into the Packer Hall of Fame, which is awesome as well. He deserves to be there. And just a really, he's made such an impact on the team, on the fans, on the city, on everything. And it was just, it was amazing. It was kind of a dream to be able to listen to him speak and then later shake his hand and take pictures with him.
It was definitely past his bedtime.
And mine too?
Yeah, and me too to some extent. It was really surreal. I mean, just being, the fact that he felt comfortable enough to be at this random bar on the outskirts of the Lumen Stadium and just speak to us Packer fans, and the NBA Cup was going on. It was a great vibe. So, and understanding the Packers history, as you have taught me well, of the years of suffering before Brett Favre came in 1992, ironically the year I was born. So I've just had this whole entire life of having great Packer quarterbacks. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. But being a Sacramento Kings fan has been really humbling in itself. But to the actual game, writing as a recap writer for Cheesehead TV, I had to be in a certain mind state of focus, different than any other time that I've watched a game live. For you, witnessing the game and how it turned out, with how dominant the Packers were, how they made some splash plays in the first half on offense, seeing Josh Jacobs just continue to be a difference maker. Jordan Love made great throws. Cooper and Williams, Packers rookie standout. What did you get the most and take away from this Packers team? Watching live,
yeah. That they are kind of like last year. They're starting to peak, and when I say peak, I'm meaning in all facets of the game. Their offense, when they won the coin toss and they elected to receive the ball, you know, that's always a gamble, because you come into a visiting stadium, you go three and out, you punt the ball, you played right into their hands. The game plan that LaFleur had for the offense to get down the field by throwing screens to Jacobs, multiple screens on the first drive, by running the ball, by throwing it down the field a little bit, really, I think, took Seattle by surprise, and they were not ready for what hit them, and we scored on that opening drive. You score a touchdown on the opening drive, you come in and basically you slap them in the face on their home field and you sent a message. And they picked it up from there. Everything from special teams to the defense, which was incredible, just really stood out. Now, you look and you go, and okay, then you have to compare them. You go, okay, are they ready for a Detroit or a Philadelphia? And obviously they're going to have to be on the road in those two places. I'm telling you, they're just like last year when they went to San Francisco. First they went to Dallas and no one gave them a chance in Dallas. Then they blew them out. Then they went to San Francisco and I think they were double-digit underdogs in San Francisco. And they played them down to the wire. It was a missed field goal that we could have tied the game at the very end. And otherwise, boom. But the team is just continuing to grow. They're very young still. And continuing to get to improve. And what I took away the most is that they are ready for the playoffs.
And as we are recording this, I just got the notification that Packers linebacker Edgerrin Cooper becomes the first rookie linebacker since 2010 for the Packers to win NFC Defensive Player of the Week twice in the same season.
Nice. Yeah.
Do you know, it's probably an obvious answer, who was the last Packer to do that, 2010?
Clay Matthews?
That is correct. Clay, Mr. Big Play. Clay, well-deserved Cooper. He had the first sack of the game. He had that interception where he kept up with the wide receiver. I mean, Cooper's everywhere. And shout-out to the Green Bay Packer fan base for showing up, being loud and proud with the Go Pack Goes. We got fortunate to be surrounded by a good group of Packer vibes that were loud, that we're all different personalities, but at the same way, we all just gelled together. We were right behind the bench, so the bench was giving us, like, hey, let me hear you guys. And Matt LaFleur gave the Packer fans our flowers after the game for being loud and making it feel like one of the hardest places to play in the NFL, sort of a home field advantage for the Packers.
Yeah, very much so.
And to your point, us punching them in the mouth right away silenced a lot of those Seattle fans. I mean, there wasn't really a moment of, like, really quiet in that stadium throughout the game, but when it was 20-3, it was just...
It was pretty quiet, except for Packer fans.
Yes.
And that was the celebration of the 12th man, their anniversary, so it was Fan Appreciation Day for Seattle on that day, and they didn't show up. It was amazing how many Packer fans were there. We've seen the Packers in Jacksonville and Los Angeles and San Diego and San Francisco and kind of around the U.S. And I think Jacksonville had a really good following of Packer fans when we were there and such. But this really stood out. The amount of Packer fans that were in the stands, the amount of cheering, just the energy from the Packer perspective, it felt like a home game. It honestly felt like a home game in Seattle.
Yeah, it was great. Such a fun game, such a great experience with you.
Yep.
What do you think of the halftime drone show?
Yeah, the drone show was pretty amazing. If you haven't had an opportunity to see a drone show and one comes up because they're becoming more and more popular nowadays, oh man, I advise you to do it. What they do with these drones is just amazing. The images that they were able to put up, from the Seahawks emblems to a Marshawn Lynch.
That was my favorite one.
Just various players and scenes and fans and the 12th man and kind of everything that they did with that was just truly, truly amazing. So, that was quite a show. That in itself was worth the price of admission as well. It was quite a night. And to your point, you know, going to Packer games, going to any game, for anybody, you know, if you love a team and you have so much passion for a team, and you know, you have someone that you love that has that same passion and motivation, and there's no better experience than experiencing that with my son. So it was incredible.
Aw, sentimental moments here on Pass the Damn Ball podcast. Thank you. The drone show was absolutely cool. Glad I got to experience everything with you. I find it really funny that, you know, they showed Seattle's history, and I was nerding out watching it, even through all the Marshawn Lynch stuff. And then, of course, they stopped it before the Russell Wilson interception, which they didn't even mention Russell Wilson at all.
They did not even show him, no.
Which is, they even showed Richard Sherman, which they got beef, him and the Seattle franchise, but they didn't even show Russell Wilson. I found that really, maybe because he's still in the league on another team.
Probably.
So,
but the Packers still show Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers, so, right.
Yeah,
so,
interesting.
To each their own, whatever. So the final score was Green Bay 30, Seattle 13. Just wanted to go over the playoffs here real quickly. By the way, Pass the Damn Ball. You can follow me on Instagram at @PassTheDamnBall_. You can follow me, myself, Mitch Adams 209 on Instagram, and on Twitter at Mitch Adams 209. Playoff picture in the NFC, the Detroit Lions and the Eagles both have clinched, and the Minnesota Vikings, how can we forget them? 12-2, three teams at 12-2. Very, very impressive. And then Green Bay's at that sixth seed at 10-4. Tampa Bay, Rams, 3-4, 8-6. And then Seattle is now in the eighth seed behind the Commanders, who are still in that seventh seed, 9-5. Do you see this playoff picture changing in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, potentially. I think with Minnesota going to Seattle, a lot depends on their quarterback. If their quarterback is hurt and he doesn't come back, that could really hurt Seattle, because they've got such a tough division that is so close. I mean, everybody's still in it from top to bottom, all four teams, from Arizona to San Francisco to LA. to Seattle. They're all still in play to win that division potentially.
Don't give Niner fans hope.
Which is crazy. It's still there. There's still an inch of hope. But the so Seattle could potentially change. I think Detroit will be interesting because they still have a couple of games left of some tough teams, so their record could potentially change. The Vikings' record could change. So things could juggle around. I don't think it will too much. I think the top is kind of what we see, and it'll probably hold true. You know, the question is going to be who gets home field advantage throughout. Is it going to be Philadelphia or Detroit? And then, you know, kind of what happens below that. But I don't see a lot changing there. Tampa's playing really, really well, really good football. I don't see them getting ousted out of winning their division. Really, it's the NFC West, which is much different, I think, this year than what people expected, because we all expected the Niners to just dominate that division, and then potentially, you know, the Rams, Arizona obviously improved, and we knew they'd be improved, and Seattle got a new coach, and they're good, and we knew they'd be good. So, but not to, you know, not to like as much mediocrity as they have been showing. Really didn't expect that. And on the other side of that, with the Packers, I mean, you figure the top three teams are a combined 34-8.
Crazy.
34-8 for three teams in one division that have to play each other is amazing. And yeah, I don't know. No words cannot explain that. That is crazy.
We'll end the pod on this question. So, who will finish with the worst record in the NFL? The Raiders or the Giants? Both are 2-12. I predicted the Giants would finish with the worst record overall. We didn't mention the Raiders because for some reason we thought there was hope. And, well, at least I thought there was some hope with the Devontae factor and their defense. But who's going to finish with the worst record?
I think the Raiders will finish with the worst record because they want the worst record the most. Anytime you go into a game and you get multiple punts blocked and you get extra points blocked and such, it's like, okay, are you trying to tank? I think you're trying to tank. So it looks like they want it. They want it badly. So I think the Raiders will finish with the first pick.
Bring Shadur to Vegas.
Come on, baby.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Thank you for listening.